Praise God. Well, I want to look at a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Anyone heard of Zacchaeus? He was a little man like me. He might have been smaller, but he could have been taller. But we won't go there. But Zacchaeus was a small man. But in Luke chapter 19, you want to turn with me, and I'm going to read the story to you. It's just a small passage, 10 verses. But listen to this story, then we're just going to expound it a little bit, and hopefully that the Lord will encourage you this morning. Chapter 19, verse 1 says, he entered Jericho, it's talking of Jesus, and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise God. God bless his word to us this morning. You know, when we get to know Jesus and begin to hear about him and understand Jesus, he wasn't just a figure that lived 2,000 years ago and that was it, a story. But he was very real, and his heart was to seek and save that which was lost. He was seeking, at some point in my life, he came and sought after me. And praise God, he found me and I found Jesus. And since that moment, I've walked with God in relationship with him. And he's very real to my life. And I hope he's very real to you as well. But here we have this story of a man named Zacchaeus. And Jesus says that Jesus was passing through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And Jericho was quite a prominent place. It was like the Palm Springs, if you like, of the time. And it's where the wealthy and the rich would reside. And in the midst of this town, there was this man named Zacchaeus who was called the chief tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. And a tax collector was someone who would have been a Jew who was employed by the Roman authorities to take the money off the other Jews. So you can just imagine that Zacchaeus was not very well liked in Jericho. In fact, people would have despised him, it would have been rejected, Jew him, possibly at times would have felt ostracized where he was. But at the same time, he was very, very wealthy and rich. And it says that they'd heard that Jesus was coming into the town. You know, maybe today this is the first time you've heard about Jesus, or maybe you've heard about Jesus in your life many times. But I tell you, it all starts that first time when you hear about Jesus. And I just love saying the name Jesus because of who he is and what he means to me. The Bible says his name, you know, is like honey. It's sweeter on the lips. And his name is wonderful because he is so real to us. And I'm sure there are people that you can think of, maybe in your own life, maybe parents, grandparents, people who have been an influence on your life. And when you hear their name being spoken, it brings a smile and a joy to your heart because you can identify with them, because your experience of life with them. And Jesus is very real to me. And when I love saying the name Jesus. But for Zacchaeus, he'd heard about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. And it says that he heard that Jesus was coming into town. So Zacchaeus thought, I want to go and meet this man. I want to go and see this man. So he ran out into the town. And he reached out, and as he reached the town, there was a crowd, a sea of people. And being a little man, he probably just jumping up and looking over the crowd, trying to see Jesus coming. But he couldn't see because he was smaller than anyone else. Maybe he tried to push through others, and others maybe saw that Zacchaeus, and they pushed him out of the way. It's this tax collector, and you know, they've not got a very good relationship with this man. So Zacchaeus, in his persistence, let me hear that this morning, in his persistence, he pursued to see Jesus. You know what Jackie mentioned in her testimony about searching after God. You know, God is there. He's here. And I speak to many people throughout my life. I've spoken to many about Jesus, many who have maybe not even heard of him. Maybe people have heard about him in Sunday school, maybe read stories about him. But some will come and and say, well, if there's a God, then why is there suffering in the world? If there's a God, why have I been through so much pain? Where has he been for me in that time of difficulty? And I remember challenging some of these people sometimes and saying, have you ever looked for God? And sometimes people in this life, we can spend our life looking to see there isn't a God rather than ever looking to see there is. And when you begin to look to see Jesus, you will find him. The Bible says you will seek him and you will find him when you search for him with all of your heart. And I see Zacchaeus, probably a very lonely man, seeking after Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. There's something about this man. There's something about what he's done, his miracles and his words that he speaks. There's something so fascinating and amazing about this man. I want to see him. And he did not allow the crowd to stop him. You know, sometimes it can be people that stop us from pursuing and seeking after God. It can be the people around us. It can be the busyness of the crowd and the hustle and the bustle of the crowds around us that will get in the way. But he pressed through the crowd. Do not fear men to see the greatest man of all, to see Jesus, the Son of God. In fact, he is not just the Son of God. The Bible declares him to be God. There is no one greater that we could ever find and ever talk to and ever know than Jesus Christ. And he sought after him and he pressed through the crowd and yet he still couldn't get to him. And then he saw this huge sycamore tree in the distance. And he says he ran to that sycamore tree and he climbed up and he began to peer as Jesus was passing that way. You know, I wonder what he would have been thinking while he was up in that tree. As he saw Jesus, will Jesus pass by me? You know, I don't know if anyone's climbed trees before, and it was great in a tree, but sometimes you can hide in a tree, can't you? You can be hidden in a tree. He wanted to see Jesus, but did he want Jesus to see him? I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But sometimes we want to see the things of God, but we don't want Jesus to see us. Sometimes we can hide in life, and that's one of the things when this week I believe God speaks to us, and one of the things that kept coming back to me, and I've said it over the weeks, but it won't leave me alone. But I believe there are people in this world that are hiding from God or trying to hide from God, and they have a hiding place in their life to hide from the difficulties, hide from the pressures of life, and they find their hiding place in the Lord. And I feel that God would say that he is your hiding place. Let me give you an example. When I was working as a carpenter, a chippy, there was a gentleman that I worked with, and he was a lovely man, a very kind man. But one day, you know, he confided in me, and he would often after work, he'd go to the pub, and he would swallow his sorrows away in the alcohol in the pub. But he was a very kind and gentle, caring man. And he said to me, you know, he said, I just can't cope in life. He said, why? It's because my wife had an affair with my best friend and all trust is broken, my heart is broken. So he found his hiding place at that time was in the pub, drinking away his sorrows, a place of escape to numb the pain. And many people in this world probably have been through that. Somebody here today, maybe you experienced that, some of that in your life. You know the pain and the hurt in your life. And we find different places to go to hide where we can just deal with those things in life, the difficulties of life. For Zacchaeus, he might have been hiding behind his wealth so often. Maybe he was hiding in that tree at that time, we don't know. But we all have a hiding place, somewhere we go just to escape life. Some it may be behind social media as they portray something of themselves that nobody else can see, but just showing something, a false facade of themselves, a false face of themselves to feel accepted, but the real them is hidden behind that computer screen or that mobile phone. And God sees everything. And God cares about everything in our life, as we see in a moment. Some hide behind knowledge in life. Some hide behind jewelry and makeup and the vanity of life, but deep down inside, the heart is broken and struggling and lonely. Jesus sees that heart. Where is your hiding place? I tell you, God wants your hiding place to be found in him. We read in the Bible, it says that Moses, it said that he loved the presence of God and he desired the presence of God more than anything else. And he said, God, show me your presence. Show me your glory. I want to know you more. That's what he was crying out for. You know, he'd led thousands of people. He was a great leader of his time. But what he desired above everything was the presence of God. Because once you've experienced and tasted of God's presence, you want more. I know I do. And God said to him this interesting thing. He said, I'll show you my glory, but if anyone sees me, they can't live. In other words, God is so perfect and so good and so wonderful that we cannot stand in his presence and live. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of that rock. And he said, and then I'm going to pass my presence before you. Did you notice that? I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. That rock represents Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I believe, is saying to us today and would say to you, hide yourself in me. Hide yourself in my strength. The rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is that firm place. It's a firm foundation that will not be moved, that will not be shaken. You know, we live in a world where the government is shaken, where there's things around us. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Different laws and things are happening. There's world wars around us. We live on shaky ground. But Jesus declares himself to be the rock that cannot be shaken. So as Christians, as believers, when we put our trust in Jesus and hide in the rock of Jesus, we're hiding in a safe place with him. We're hiding under his strength. We're hiding under his love. We're hiding under his protection. We're hiding under his care. We're hiding under his guidance. We're hiding in Christ. You know, do you hide your life in Christ? Are you hidden in him? Paul says, you know, my life is hidden in Christ, but Christ also hides his life in you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so many people in this world today are empty and hiding themselves in different places. I think of Jeremiah when he went to the nation and to God's people, and he said they cover themselves in jewelry, they cover themselves in makeup and in clothes, but he said their hearts were so far away from God. And God's heart was grieved because he just wanted to love them and reveal himself to them. But they were covering their lives. Today, Jesus sees everything. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed. I believe God would be calling you to come to him and hide yourself in him. And Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry. And come down from there. Hurry, don't delay. Don't delay. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know what today brings. And today, bless you. Thank you for coming today and coming and joining today and worshiping God with us today. But the call was, hurry, come down. Hurry, Zacchaeus. I want to spend time with you, Zacchaeus, today. Today, Zacchaeus, is your day. And you know, Zacchaeus' name means pure. And yet his life was far from that. And yet Jesus called out to him and said, Zacchaeus, pure one. What would that have made him feel like? To hear his name being called by Jesus. When everyone else looked at him, maybe spat on him or maybe despised him, and yet Jesus, in the midst of the crowd, called his name. I tell you today, God calls you by name, and he's calling your name today. Can you hear him calling your name, wherever that may be? Calling out to you, calling you to come to him with a heart full of love, with a desire that you would come into his presence. He said, hurry. Don't let things distract you. Don't wait. Don't delay. Hurry and come to me. Come to me. And I don't delay when God calls out to you. Please don't delay. But call as he calls out your name. Say, Jesus, I'm coming. I love verse 6. He said he hurried and came down to him and received him gladly. Some people, they don't like Jesus. They don't like the name of Jesus. But will you receive Jesus gladly? And when Jesus came into this world, he came and asked for nothing, yet gave everything. He gave everything. He gave his life. He gave his time. He gave whatever he had. He gave his service. He gave his very body and died on the cross. He gave his love. He gave truth, even when people rejected him for it and despised him for it. He gave everything. When he comes to you today, as he comes in his word, when he comes and calls out your name, receive him gladly in your heart. Jesus, I'm glad that you've called my name. I'm glad that you recognized me. I'm glad that you're here today. They said the rest of the crowd, when they saw it, they grumbled and saying, he's gone to be with a guest of a man who is a sinner. And others, why are you going to be with him, Jesus? Do you not realize this man is a thief? He's taken our money. He's taken things. He's a rich man. And he, why are you going to spend time with him? Some of us in this world today would say, Jesus, why would you spend time with me? I'm not worthy. I've done so much wrong in my life. I've messed up. I've lied. I've cheated. I've rejected you. I've rejected others. Why would you call out to me? Why not? And Jesus says, today I'm coming to your house. You know, have you ever had someone come to your house? Have you had somebody knock on your door at your house who you don't know is a stranger? It's likely if somebody came knock on your door that you didn't know that you wouldn't let them in because you didn't know them. But Jesus says, I want to come to your house. I want to come into your home. And when someone comes into your home, you're inviting them into your life, into your space, into your world, into your bubble, that only generally friends and family will come into your house. And Jesus says, I want to come into your house. And what he's saying is, I want to come into your life. The Bible says, for all who received him, he gave right to become children of God. It's not enough to believe in Jesus Christ. God wants to come into your life. He wants to be a part of your every day of your life. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Will you let Jesus into your heart? Will you let him into your life? Some of us, we'll come to Jesus, we'll sit around Jesus, but Jesus, don't come into my heart. Don't come into my house. Sometimes we say, don't come to my home because it's a mess. Sometimes our lives can be such a mess, and yet Jesus wants to come and help you tidy up that mess in your life. Sometimes, you know, when, have you ever done this? People come in, you come around, you've got guests coming around, and you tidy up the rooms that they will be in. You tidy up the toilet, the living room, maybe the kitchen. And you shove everything else into the other rooms. You think, well, they won't go in those rooms. So that, and sometimes we say, God, you can come into these rooms. And yet God's looking at those rooms that are messy, that nobody else can see. And so they're the rooms I want to come into. They're the rooms that need cleaning up. And God has such a wonderful way of changing our lives. And Zacchaeus, although he was very wealthy and very rich, he was still very lonely and very rejected and despised. And maybe he longed for the mercy of God upon his life. Maybe he longed for acceptance and forgiveness. He was prepared to let God come into those areas of his life. You know, as Christians, we can be like that. Still, we say, God, you can come into certain areas of my life. Will you let God into every area? The areas of the past where there's bitterness, where there's unforgiveness, where there's hurt, where there's been hatred, where there's been abuse, where there's been rejection, where there has been ridicule. There's things that you've buried and you shut that door and you've locked it for years. And God's saying, let me in so I can bring in healing and restoration. Jesus wants to come to your house. He just doesn't want to reside outside the door. The Bible says in Revelation that God stands at the door. Jesus stands at the door and he's knocking on that door. And he said, if anyone opens that door, I will come in. And he's speaking to the church, but I believe we can apply it to every single one of us in this world today. That Jesus stands at the door wanting to come into our lives. Going to church, reading a Bible is not allowing Christ into your life. There has to be a will that says, Jesus, I willingly allow you to come in. He said to Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Zacchaeus had to willingly leave that tree. Jackie had to willingly decide to go through those waters of baptism. Nobody told her, nobody made her, nobody drag her through those waters. And the same with you and I. God wants us to willingly receive him, willingly pursue him, willingly come to that hiding place in him, willingly call him and allow him to come into our lives. He will not force himself in, but he wants you to say, Jesus, come into that area of my life. Will you do that? Would you be brave enough and courageous enough, even in the midst of the crowd, say, Jesus, you can come to my house. We sung a song earlier, and I love that song. It said, we're no longer as slaves, but we are a child of God. Do you know God wants you to be free? I believe that scripture tells us that. We see Jesus setting many free. In fact, the Bible says the Son of Man came to set the captive free. He's anointed me to release those who are in captivity. And sometimes we don't respond to God because we are captive by something. Something has got a hold of us. For Zacchaeus, it may have been for years. Maybe it was wealth. Maybe it had been desiring for something, a better life, but realizing that money wasn't doing it for him. Maybe that had been a captive on his life. Maybe greed had got around his heart and his life. And what I see is, like, sometimes, you know, when you have a rope tied around you and it's pulling you back and you can't move in any direction as long as that rope is around your life. And you can feel free to do whatever you want, but as long as that rope is around your life, you'll never be free. And that rope needs to be broken. Proverbs puts it like this in Proverbs chapter 9. And perhaps chapter 5. It said, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches over his paths." You know, God's eyes are watching over us every day. He sees everything. "His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held by the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and the greatness of his folly, he will go astray." It says there, he'll be held by the cords of his sin. And what sin does, it binds us. Sin is living life your way, doing things your own way, living for yourself rather than living for God's purpose and plan for your life. And I've come to figure, if God is perfect, if everything God does is right, if he is good and everything he does is good, then surely his plan for my life and for our lives is perfect, is the best plan, and is right. So if I surrender my life to him, then I'm entering into the better life. And that's a decision that we make. When we become Christians, we make a decision to say, "Jesus, I want your plan and your will for my life. I don't want to live my life the way that I do any longer for myself." And this is what happened to Zacchaeus. As he spent time with Jesus, something changed in his life. Something happened that day that nobody else could do. Something so radically changed and transformed him that all of a sudden it says that he was sitting down and it said that he stood up and he began to say, and he said, what do you look at what the words he says? He stopped and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." What happened to this man? To change him, to cause him to want to give. I'll tell you what happened. He received Christ into his life that moment, and what he'd received was greater than anything else that he had. All of a sudden, he'd become rich in God. He'd received the riches of God's mercy upon his life. He received the riches of God's grace upon his life. He'd been filled with everything that he'd been looking for and now changed in a moment because Jesus had come into his life. And that's why Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Praise God. That's what happens when God comes in. All of a sudden, you realize nothing in this world really matters because all that matters is with him who stands before you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, I want for nothing in this world because I have Jesus. There's nothing in this world that will really satisfy me. But Jesus, I've come to realize that in my 30 plus years of walking with Christ, I've found Jesus, and he is wonderful. He is everything to me. He is my all in all. And I want this world to know what I know about Jesus. And if I could give it to you right now, then I would. But I can only give you the message of Christ and say, run with him, walk with him, listen to him, know him in your life. And he will change you and transform you. Zacchaeus was no longer a slave in his life, but he became a child of God. Zacchaeus is no longer a slave, but she is a daughter of God. Know your position in Christ. When Christ came and he died on the cross, the things which bound us, the chains and the cords around us, that rope that had us bound for years, no matter how free we may have felt, we were still bound by the cords of sin, which has separated us from knowing Jesus. And Jesus came dying on the cross and he severed that cord. He cut it and set you free. He set you free. Some of us still looking and feel tied by that cord, but it's already been cut. And we're walking around bound, but you're free. The chains have come off. That song, you know, the chains came off. My heart was free. The chains came off. I rose and followed thee. You know, the chains are off because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. Praise God. Don't be bound by sin any longer. The Bible says, how do we get free from sin? The Bible clearly tells us that we're to repent. In other words, we're to turn away from doing things our way and turn to follow Christ. You know, if you walk your way, you're going to continue to walk into that road of sin and get enslaved and entangled again and again. But when you choose to walk the way of Christ, he'll continue to walk in freedom and life. Because God has a path for every single one of us to follow. It may be narrow, it may be hard, but it'll be full of life. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, is God willing to really heal me? Is God willing, really, to change my life? Will he set me free? There's another story we read about in, and I see this in so many people's lives, but in the spiritual relevance of this, we read in Mark chapter 1, there's a man full of leprosy, and he comes and he falls on his knees before Jesus, begging him for Jesus to heal him. You know, for someone with leprosy, they would often, they'd be crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. They'll tell the world to stay away. And I know there's people in this life today, they want people to stay away from them because they feel so unworthy, feel so inadequate, feel so insecure, feel they've got nothing. They're just trying to get through life day by day. But yet this man, he falls on his knees before Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus did something that nobody else would ever do. Jesus reached out and touched him. You don't touch somebody with leprosy because their sin will fall upon you. That was the idea of the Jewish thought. Their sickness will fall upon you. But Jesus, he reached out and he touched him. And he said, behold, what was Jesus doing right there? He was overcoming sickness. He was overcoming sin. He was showing something of so significance. And he said, I am willing. I am willing. And we live through life, whether we're Christians or we're not, we say, God's not willing to do this for me. God's surely not willing to do that for me. I am so unworthy. You need to hear today Jesus say, I am willing. I am willing to save you. I am willing to set you free. I am willing to die for you on the cross. I am willing to cause you to be risen again to new life. I am willing to overcome those difficulties in you and with you. I am willing. He's not willing to let you do it by yourself, but I'm willing to do it with you and through you and in you and give you the power to overcome. That's been my experience in my life again and again and again and again. That's why I love prayer, because I know it has results. There's victory. A transformed life again. Jesus is willing. He loves. He goes to the outcast. He goes to seek and save that which is lost. You know, before we can be saved, we need to recognize we're lost. And some of you may be thinking, well, I'm lost. I'm not lost. I'm okay. When you're lost, you're saying, I need God. I can't do it anymore on my own. I need him. Do you need him in your life? Will you turn to him today? You know that walking this life, and I feel so privileged to be a pastor. I really do. It's hard. But to be able to share and talk about Jesus with people. But not only share, but to walk that journey with people in their lives. And you know, just even recently, just walking with Jackie and Lee just in these last months has been a joy as well, as it is with many of you. But seeing the change that God makes in people's lives. But when you see people, and I've had people come and they've, in time gone by, have come and sat in my office, broken, homeless, empty, nowhere to turn, rejected, no family, and yet see God bring them from one place to a place of a family, of life, of freedom. You know, there is joy in those times, and that's what Jesus does. But there has to be a willingness to yield to him. There's two things that I want to close with right now that I feel right to share with you. And then I want to pray for Lee and Jackie in a moment. When I was six, I asked Jesus to come into my life. I believed in Jesus. I didn't understand him. And he came and he resided in me and my life was different. I was not the same. When I was 16, I made a decision to go through those waters like Jackie did today and say, God, I want to give my life to you. You see the difference? Jesus come into my life, but now I want to give my life to you. Jesus calls us to believe in him. He calls us to welcome him into our lives. But sometimes it stops there. I believe God is calling people as well, not just to invite him into your life, to be a part of your life, but he's calling people to be disciples, to be a follower of him. And he says, and Jesus put this challenge out, and I feel right to put it out today. He said, if anyone would come after me to follow me, that word come after is to follow, to walk after the ways of Christ. To be a disciple is to follow Jesus. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny, take up your cross, and follow him. And then he says, he who saves his life for my sake will find it. But he who loses it will find it. He who saves his life will lose it. He who loses it will find it. So in other words, what Jesus is saying in this passage just here, he said, you can accept Christ into your life. Yes, you can walk through life knowing he's there. He can help you in times of life, but there is a better way. If you follow after him, if you follow after me, you must walk after my pattern of life. Jesus is our life coach. He is our teacher. He is my master. He is my Lord. So when I follow Christ, I yield my life to him. To deny yourself is to deny self. It's to say, God, I don't want to do things my way anymore. I want to do what you want. God, I may be feeling like I don't want to forgive that person right now, but I'm going to deny myself to get angry, to get wrathful, and to get my vengeance against them, and I'm going to choose you and deny myself, and I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to choose the way of the cross, the way of Christ, and I will forgive, and I will love. Lord, when there's somebody in need, instead of just sitting back watching TV and munching my munchies when I know I could help them in need. God, I'm going to get off my backside and I'm going to go and help them in that time of need. I'm going to deny myself and follow the way of Christ. He said, if you want to follow after me, then it's about denying yourself. In fact, he said to take up your cross. Cross speaks of death. And at times it will feel like you're having to die to what you want for the sake of Christ. It means daily, says in Luke, daily take up your cross. In other words, when you wake up, don't just do it yesterday, but every day. And you think, well, why would I want to do that with my life? And Jesus said, as you do that, you will find life. And I tell you, it's true. Wow, the joy of giving, the joy of laying down your life. It's more satisfying than watching any great movie. It's more satisfying in your life than living for Jesus, than buying any material possession. To give of yourself for the work and the cause of Christ, to live after him, you truly do know the life of abundance in Christ Jesus. I cannot explain it. What I can say is encourage you, walk after the way of God and live in his way. He said, if a man, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? Zacchaeus was probably heading towards trying to gain the whole world, but he realized he could lose his soul. So he gave up everything for the cause of Christ. Your life is your life until you put it in Jesus' hands. The Bible tells me that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he paid a price, and the price was his death on the cross. The price was giving his life, for shedding his perfect blood. He willingly had his beard torn out. He willingly had a crown of nails thrown into his head. He could have stopped it at any moment, yet he willingly chose to go through that. He willingly was scourged and was whipped and was beaten. He willingly had nails thrust through his hand. He willingly was carried across to Calvary to his place of death. He willingly struggled with every breath on that cross and hung out and continued to forgive and love and look out to every one of us as he died on that cross. He willingly chose the cross so that we would choose him and could have the opportunity to choose Christ. If he did not die, if he said, no, Father, I can't go through with it, then we would not have the choice to choose Jesus. So really, I put out this challenge to us all, as wherever we are in our journey with life, know that God's got his eye on you, that God loves you, that God calls you out of a place of hiding into the light to live for him. He wants to dwell in your life, not just be a part, not just be a visitor, but walk through your life every day and call you to walk and follow after him. I wonder if there's anyone here that say, yes, I will follow Christ. Let's bow our heads for a moment, can we? Jesus, thank you. Lord, you've done all this for us, and yet we asked not of it, and yet you did it anyway. Father, I thank you. Lord, you know every heart here today, and you love every heart. And you'd die all over again if you needed to, for just one of us, because you love us so much. And I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to speak and stir our hearts. If we haven't responded to you in our lives, then we'd say, Jesus, forgive me for living life my way. I choose to deny myself my way, and I choose to walk after your way. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what to do next, but God, would you come into my life and show me? Would you take me by the hand and would you lead me? In Jesus' name, you begin to pray and you call out to God. And maybe you need to find God as your hiding place, that place of refuge. Praise you, Jesus. I wonder, Lee and Jackie, are you there? And Bethy, you want to come as well? And I wonder maybe if Mike and Andy and Karen, would you come and join us? I just want to come and